Please turn in your Bibles to Genesis 19, verses 15 through 25. Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 through 25, God's merciful deliverance of Lot. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. And thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew these cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. One evening, two angels came to Sodom. These two angels were in the form of men. Lot brought them into his home for the night. The wicked men of the city burn for these men in their perverted homosexual lusts. They surrounded Lot's house and sought to sexually assault Lot's visitors. The angels smote those wicked homosexuals with blindness so that they could not find the door of the house. In verse 14 of this 19th chapter, Lot had gone out into the night to find and to warn his sons-in-law that God was about to destroy their city and that they needed to flee in order to save their lives. In today's text, these two angels of God delivered Lot from Sodom. God then sends his judgment on that city. There are many things that we in our day, 3,900 years later, can learn from the story in this text. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that the things written in its pages are written down for our learning. Now, we've looked at this in recent days, but I want us to look at it again. Turn to Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, this is Paul writing in the New Testament, so he's referring to the Old Testament scriptures, were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 10:11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Paul is speaking here of the things written in the Old Testament about Israel. And he says that these things are intended as examples for us in these last days in which we are living. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. That's an old English word that means examples. All these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So the Holy Spirit had this text written down for our learning. In the message this morning, we shall consider four things in this text, and then we shall consider some lessons we hopefully can learn from all of this. First of all, we read in verses 15 and 16 something very important about Lot. That is the fact that he lingered in Sodom. Lot lingered in Sodom in verse 15. The angels told Lot to get out of Sodom. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." These angels hastened Lot. They let him know that the situation was urgent. As the sun came up, the two angels told Lot to take his wife and his two daughters and get out of town fast. They told him that he was in danger of being consumed in the iniquity of the city. Lot's character is well revealed in two little words in verse 16. The words, "he lingered." Lot lingered in Sodom. He dilly-dallied around when he should have been hurrying. He didn't get in any hurry, even though the two angels hastened him to leave. This lingering showed where Lot's heart really was. He was reluctant to give up his house and his possessions and his position of authority in Sodom, and thus he lingered. Lot lingered in Sodom while the angels who were sent to deliver him were watching right in front of them. He lingered. He knew the wicked condition of that city, yet he lingered. He knew that God's judgment was coming because the two angels had told him so in verse 13 of this chapter, yet he lingered. Lot knew that God always does what he says he will do, yet he lingered. He lingered while Sodom was about to be destroyed. Lot understood the danger that he faced. We know he understood the danger he was in, because he actually went out and warned his sons-in-laws of that danger. Yet he lingered. Lot's lingering describes the approach of many today to their own personal salvation. A lot of people who are under some level of conviction for their sin and guilt and deserving of hell and of their need for repentance are still putting off their need to turn from sin and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. There are some of you here today who may have lingered for years and have not yet fled to Christ from the wrath that is to come. Are you lingering like this today? You know the truth. You hear it preached every Sunday. You believe there is a hell and that sinners are going there. You know that your time in this life is uncertain at best and that you could die this very afternoon. You know that if you linger another day or even another hour, it may be too late. Will this service today be your last opportunity to flee the wrath to come? You know that you must repent of your sin and trust in Jesus Christ to be saved. And yet you linger when God's word says to flee the wrath to come. Won't you repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today before it's everlastingly too late? Go to Christ at once and be saved from the wrath to come. The Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, and there is no answer of any sinner to this command of God. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Why do you linger? Oh, listen, linger no more. Next, in verses 16b and 17, we read that Lot was delivered from God's judgment. Here, Lot is rescued out of Sodom. Those angels finally had to take Lot by the hand and practically drag him out of town. As I read that, I tried to picture it in my mind. There were two angels and there were four of Lot's family. And that means that each angel had one person on each hand. And here they were practically dragging them out of town. The men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Those of Lot's family who were rescued had to be dragged out of town. Matthew Henry said that this taking hold of the hands of Lot and his family by these angels was, quote, a gracious violence, unquote, by which God delivered Lot out of Sodom. The angels saved Lot and his family like Jude 23 describes how we are to lead some sinners to faith in Christ. They saved them with fear, pulling them out of the fire, Jude said. Here in verse 16, we see illustrated the next point, the fact that God is merciful. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Even though there were not 10 righteous persons in Sodom for whose sakes the city might be spared, God did deliver the one righteous man that was there. God was merciful in delivering Lot, even though Lot lingered. Lot's daughters, who were married, perished along with their unbelieving husbands in Sodom. But those daughters who still lived at home with Lot were spared. The salvation, even of the most righteous person, is a matter of God's mercy and not that person's own righteousness. We are saved by grace. The only reason any of us is saved is because of the grace of God. If God had not saved us, we would never have been saved. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Praise God for his mercy in saving us. Verse 17 tells us the instructions these angels gave Lot once they had brought him out of the city. Note verse 17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And again, we see the urgency of God's warning. The angels told Lot, don't look back. Forget your love for Sodom. Don't you stay in the plain. Don't stop in all the plain. Flee to the mountain. Once outside the city, Lot and his family were told to run towards the mountain and run for their lives. I wonder if this is the origin of that saying, head for the hills. Could be. God's warning is just as urgent to us today. we must do, we must do. As John the Baptist said in Luke 3:7, and flee the wrath to come. Flee means run from it. Next, verses 18 through 22 tell us that Lot's faith was weak. We know he was a saved man because Peter tells us that he was. But the scriptures here reveal that Lot's faith was weak. Verse 18, and Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now the city, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Evidently, Lot did not think that he could make it all the way to the mountain. And so he asked God to let him stop at a small city along the way, the name of which was Zoar. Lot failed to realize that if God could deliver him out of Sodom, he could certainly have taken him safely to the mountain. His faith was small. But God in His grace dealt with Lot in his weakness. And He does the same for us. Oh, praise be His name. In His long suffering, God agreed to Lot's request and spared that small city for Lot's sake. What a blessing to know that in our weakness, God deals with us in His grace. In the fourth place, verses 23 through 25 tell us that God's judgment finally fell. Here we read what God did to the sexually perverted cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. His patience finally came to an end, and God's judgment fell as soon as Lot was in Zoar. The nature of God's judgment on Sodom is seen in verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. God's judgment on these wicked, homosexual-dominated cities was fire. God has many means of judgment. He drowned the old world in a flood of water. Here, His means of judgment was fire. Very interesting and edifying to study the word fire in the Scriptures. Fire is the expression of God's wrath and judgment on sin. The fire that burned up the sacrifices on the brazen altar in the Old Testament spoke of God's wrath and judgment on the sins imputed to those substitutionary victims. When Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire in the tabernacle, Leviticus 10:2 says, there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Fire from heaven fell in Lot's day. And God's Word says in 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9 that this will happen again when the Lord Jesus comes back. Christ will come in judgment when He returns to this earth. And the means of this judgment will be the fire of His wrath against sin. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9 tells us that Jesus Christ, when He comes the second time, is coming in judgment. And His coming will be accompanied by fire. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. No judgment in this world can compare with the judgment that is to come at the end. Hell in the future is described in Revelation 19:20 as a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. So fire, in God's word, speaks of God's wrath and judgment on sin. In his wrath against sin, God sent his judgment on Sodom by raining down fire from heaven on them. The textbook for my college Old Testament survey course explained this fire as a combination of volcanic and lightning activity. It gave a naturalistic explanation. My friends, this was no volcanic explosion. It was the fire of God's wrath from heaven. This was no natural phenomenon. This destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah came directly from God. Verse 24, look at verse 24, which says, "The Lord rained fire from the Lord out of heaven." I don't know how much plainer it could be that this is not a natural phenomenon. In Luke 17:29, the Lord Jesus describes this event by saying that the Lord rained fire and brimstone from heaven. And Jude 7 says that this fire that fell from heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah was the eternal fire of hell come down from heaven. Let's turn to Jude 7. Next to the last book in the New Testament, Jude, verse 7. Jude tells us here that this fire that consumed Sodom and Gomorrah was the eternal fire of hell. "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Now this is talking about fire falling on Sodom and Gomorrah, and it calls it eternal fire. Think of it. Hell fire fell on them from heaven. Somebody described it as a burning, scorching, choking downpour from heaven. The judgment of God in hell is actually described like this in Psalm 11 and verse 6. Let's turn to that, and we'll look at this more than once today and next week, the Lord willing. Psalm 11 and verse 6. This describes the judgment of God falling from heaven like this. Psalm 11, verse 6 says, "Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup." That's what happened at Sodom, and that's what's going to happen again when Christ returns. Now turn to Matthew 11 and verse 24. Matthew 11 and verse 24. Here the Lord Jesus says that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah will again suffer the fire of God's wrath, this time in eternal hell. He's speaking to the people of Capernaum. "But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." In other words, Sodom is going to suffer the judgment of God in the end, but there, that judgment won't be as bad as God's judgment will be on Capernaum and its people. But both of them are going to experience the judgment of God in hell at the end. Verse 25 in our text tells us the results of God's judgment on Sodom. Verse 25, "And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground." In this 25th verse, we are told that God's wrath came on Sodom to the uttermost. This was an awful judgment that overthrew these cities, destroyed all the people, destroyed the plain, and destroyed all that grew upon the ground. These cities became a smoking mass of destruction and desolation. The smoke of the city went up as the smoke of a furnace, says verse 28 of this 19th chapter. 2 Peter 2:6 says that God turned Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. There wasn't anything left. Every once in a while I hear somebody say that, oh, they found some foundations over there they think are the remains of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, Peter tells us God turned those cities into ashes. This judgment brought utter ruin, irreparable ruin to the cities and the sinners who were in them. Deuteronomy 29:23 describes the utter destruction of Sodom. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 29 and verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 23. Here we have a description of the utter destruction of Sodom. "And that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in His anger and in His wrath." That's utter destruction. Even the plant life was gone. This awful judgment was a punishment that fit the seriousness of their sin. Listen, my friends, perverted sex was justly punished by supernatural fire. God's judgment is terrible indeed. In closing, let us look at some lessons that we should learn from this story of God's delivering Lot out of Sodom. First of all, let us learn the extreme seriousness of sin in God's sight. God designed this judgment as a standing revelation of His wrath against sinners in all ages. God's judgment on Sodom is a warning to us all who sin against Him. This judgment alerts us to the evil of sin in that it brings people and cities to ruin. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. This scripture tells us that Sodom and God's destruction of it is meant to be an example to those who are ungodly. 2 Peter 2:6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample or example unto those that after should live ungodly." Are you living in some sin today? God's judgment on Sodom is meant for an example for you of the utter ruin and judgment that sin brings in the end. Second, a second lesson that we should learn from this story today let us learn two things about the character of God. And we can see many things about God's character here. We've already talked about His mercy, His grace, His long-suffering, His patience. But there are two specific things that we should learn about the character of God here today. People today usually invent in their own minds the God they want to worship, rather than recognizing God as He is revealed in the Scriptures. You know, people will believe anything about God as long as it's not what the Scripture says about God. They have a God that they've invented in their own minds. They imagine a God, most people today, evidently, at least in America, imagine a God who is all love and who will not require them to do right. And especially, who would never send them to hell at last for their sins. They imagine a God who will overlook their sins and give them a break when they do wrong. It is the duty of Christians to take God's character as it is revealed in His Word. Romans 11:22 speaks of two aspects of the character of God, of the character of the God of the Bible, and these are revealed in this text. Paul says here in Romans 11:22, we ought to have this committed to memory, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God." There's the two aspects. Paul recommends our consideration when he says, "Behold." Consider it, both of these aspects of God's character. In our text, we see God's goodness in His deliverance of Lot and his family from His awful judgment on Sodom. God is good. He delivers His people. He sent His angels to deliver Lot from the firestorm of His wrath on those cities. In His strict justice and righteous judgment, God destroyed these wicked cities. And here we see the severity of God. Not only the goodness of God, but the severity of God. Here we are confronted with the terrors of the Lord and how fearful a thing it is to fall into the hands of the living God. In His Word, God threatens sinners with judgment because of their sin. We could... You know, the Scriptures are full of these. We can mention many of them. In Ezekiel 18:4, God says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." In Exodus 34:7, God says, "He will by no means clear the guilty." Let no one even imagine that God will spare him if he is guilty. God's judgment is just. And God's judgment is severe. Sodom and Gomorrah are monuments to the severity of God's just judgments and God's nature. Finally, a third thing. Let us learn from this incident that God preserves His people. God carefully preserved Lot through His awful judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. In verse 22 of our text, the angel said that they could not destroy Sodom until Lot had reached Zoar. As 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord really does know how to deliver the righteous. God carefully preserves all who truly belong to Him in salvation. He preserves them in salvation all the way to heaven at last. Turn to John 10:27-29. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. The Lord Jesus is speaking here about His preservation of His people. When He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Truly, God abides faithful and cares for His own. Let us pray. Our Father, we're grateful for all the things that we can and should learn from this text of Scripture today. Father, help us to see the seriousness of sin, the extreme seriousness of sin. And may we repent and live our lives in accordance with the extreme seriousness of sin. We pray for those who may be lingering even today in the matter of salvation. We pray that they would repent of sin and come to Christ before it's everlastingly too late. Father, for every application that ought to be made, we pray that the Holy Spirit would make it in each heart and that each of us would look for that application and make it ourselves. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.